Welcome to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin Solomon, Senior Rabbi of Congregation Beth Hillel in Roswell, Georgia. Beth Hillel is one of the largest Messianic Jewish synagogues in the world and provides a place where Jewish people can find the Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus in Hebrew, and retain their Jewishness. It's also where Gentiles worship and embrace the roots of the faith in drawing closer to God. Click the link in the description to support this ministry or to view our YouTube channel. Let's join Rabbi Kevin now as he shares this word from Scripture.
We're continuing in the series based on some of the sayings of our founding rabbi, Robert Solomon, who I just showed you. The series is called The Wisdom of Solomon. And so the first thing I'd kind of like to do really is I'd like to take out the guitar for a minute. Is that okay? Is that okay? Okay. I already asked our guitar player if that was okay, and he said it was okay. But I was just something a little short. I was thinking about not even putting on the, but maybe I will. Okay, here you go. A lot of you didn't know, but I'd like to play a little something for you on guitar. Let me make sure it's on. Oh yeah, it's nice. Let me get ready here. Okay. I can't play guitar, but I like to pretend sometimes, yeah. Okay, that's all I've got. Thank you very much. Oh my goodness. I'm better at keyboard, actually. Maybe I'll play a little keyboard. I'm better at keyboard, but better is a relative word, isn't it? Mm. Oh, yeah, that sounds so good. I love that. If you're watching online, a baby just started crying when I started playing this. Yes, I understand. Some of you remember that one. That's all I got. Okay. Now here's the truth. Oh, bass, you want me to go to the bass? You want me to keep going? Okay, here's the truth. And maybe I didn't even need to tell you, I am really not good at playing these instruments. As if I needed to tell you that, okay? I just kind of made up that guitar song, you know, for a completely made up song. It was not the worst. Some people who are watching online think, is this some kind of a joke channel? What is going on here on YouTube? It is, you know, Psalm 131, please. Psalm 131. Oh, man, man. Mm. Wow, you don't know how long I've practiced for that. Oh, my gosh. The answer is literally not 1 second did I practice for that, but... Psalm 131, verse 1, it says, a song of ascents of David. Adonai, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I go after things too great or too difficult for me. But I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with his mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. I love that. I love that passage. There's actually a great song, if you want to look it up later, on the internet by a group called Water Deep that is based on that particular scripture. I absolutely love that song. But that is a great passage. Guess what? You know, what does it say? You're not going to be great at everything you do. You're just not. You're not going to be great at everything you do. And you know what? That's perfectly okay to admit. In fact, it's more than okay to admit. I think it's actually important to admit. It is liberating to admit. I'll say it right up front here. Some believers think that they have to be perfect in everything they do. They think they have to be perfect in everything they do. And when they're not, they feel disappointed in themselves and overly self-critical. I see this amongst people who follow. You've seen it too. People who sometimes follow the Lord think that they should just, you know, I follow God. I should be kind of good at everything I do. Now, listen, I'm not talking about sinning. That's different. We should always be trying not to sin and to seek to be holy, although we're going to fall short in that one also, all of us, no matter how good we are. But I'm specifically talking about other things. I am not a great guitar player, okay? Nobody would listen to me play guitar and think, Eddie Van Halen. Okay, now, if I tried hard and applied myself, could I be a good guitar player? The answer is maybe. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe I wouldn't be as good a guitar player. Okay, but maybe I could get to be a good guitar player if I really put a lot of effort into it and practiced really hard and worked at it. Okay, that's fair. I'm going to tell you something else that I'm not good at. It comes as a shock to you and all. I talked a little bit about this sport last week, but I am not what you would call a great basketball player. Okay. Thanks for your gratuitous laughter. Now if I tried hard and I applied myself, if I applied myself, could I get into the NBA? The question is not a chance. Not a chance. Well, you might say, well, Rabbi Kevin, listen, give yourself a little slack there. You're just a little bit past your prime. You're a little past your prime for basketball. And if you had only started younger, maybe then you could have made it to the NBA. Here's the point, folks. No, I never had a chance to play in the NBA. It didn't matter if I had started playing basketball in the womb. I still would not have been a basketball player good enough to make the NBA. See, friends, in life, there's something very, very important in understanding that there are things that we do not go after because they are too great or too difficult for us. Isn't it interesting that that's what the psalmist says? It's something that we don't actually talk about a lot. And a lot of your kind of positive, you know, profession people like to kind of warp what the scripture says. Well, what does the psalmist say? He says, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes lofty, nor do I go after things too great or too difficult for me. This is King David who says, listen, there's some things that I don't even go after because they're too great or too difficult for me. But you might say, I can do all things through Messiah who gives me strength. And that is true for the things that God ordains for you to do. You understand? We have to look at Scripture in a mature way and not just purely like it's a cliche or a bumper sticker. We have to understand what the Scriptures really mean, my friends, and not to use them as simply as something that we would recite only. No, it's true for the things that God ordains for you to do. And actually, that's kind of the point of that scripture. See, I can't be a professional basketball player because that's not what God ordained for me to do. So I can't do that. It is too difficult for me. I don't care how much I try or would have tried to be a professional basketball player. It wasn't going to happen. God did not put within me the giftings. God did not put within me the skills. God did not put within me the height to do that. You know, compared to a lot of people, I mean, I'm 6 foot, a lot of people, I'm tall, but not to be a professional basketball player. Huh? But that's where verse 2 comes in that we read. After David confronts the fact that there are things that he doesn't do because he can't. So first he says, there are things I can't do because I can't. They're too difficult for me. And so I don't even go after them. But right after he says that, he then says that he has calmed and quieted his soul like a small child with his mother. That's the comfort level he feels. It's such a strange juxtaposition of two verses, one after the other. In some ways, they don't make sense unless you really dig deep into it, Stacy, right? He says, listen, I'm not so proud that there are things that I don't even go after because they're too difficult for me. Too hard, too difficult for me. But then right after he says this, something that you think might make somebody frustrated and makes a lot of people frustrated. Because they can't do that, whatever that is, fill in the blank. And so they feel frustrated. But right after that, he says he's calmed and quieted his soul like a child with his mother. That's the peace that he feels about it. See, David has come to terms with it. He is okay with it. Isn't that interesting? There's a peace that he has about it, even though it's something that he can't do. Galatians chapter 6. That's a really interesting concept here, folks, that we need to internalize. I don't know if I've ever heard a message about this, but to me, it's very important in assuring that you're not going to have a disproportionately low self-esteem. A lot of people have a low self-esteem because they can't do stuff. There's something they can't do. Many things they can't do or can't do well. And so it reduces, it knocks their self-esteem, especially if somebody else can do something better. Especially if it's your sibling. Or your best friend, one of your friends, or your parent, or a child, whatever it is. Galatians chapter 6, verse 3, it says, for if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he is fooling himself. Very subtle there. Rather, let each one examine his own work. Then he will have pride in himself alone and not in comparison to anyone else. For each one will carry his own load. Wow, what a powerful scripture. I'm telling you, if you put this into action, friends, it will change your whole mental perspective and your outlook on life and your perception of yourself. I see this sometimes. People oftentimes compare themselves with others. Well, I made this, but this person, wow, boy, they're really, I'm nothing really. See, these passages are in the scripture, even the great and mighty King David. What could that guy not do? That guy could have played the guitar. I don't think they didn't have any kind of keyboard back then, but I bet, it wouldn't take him an hour to pick it up. The guy was musically gifted. I mean, what could the guy not do? But yet that's what he said. See, he knows people look at each other and they compare with themselves. No, what does the scripture say? Even King David says it. Even it says it here in Galatians. Each one carries his own load. You carry your own load. In other words, do what you are called to do. Period. End of sentence. Do what you are called to do. Sometimes I see people look at others and see what God is doing through them, and then they feel less of themselves because of it. Somebody comes around and says, wow, boy, I just share with somebody the Lord, and somebody said yes, and they wanted to receive Messiah. And you say, wow, praise God. And you think, wow, boy, that never happens to me. They're really gifted. And I'm just a barista. I'm just a barista, but I see others on the worship team. I mean, you see that guy play the guitar? He's so good. I'm a barista at a coffee shop, man. That guy right there on that guitar, whoa, he's good. He's doing something for God. He's so gifted. He's so gifted on that guitar. He's leading worship. He's been leading worship in this place for years. He plays that guitar so skillfully. And one of the things I noticed about this particular guitar player is a couple of weeks ago, I saw him play the guitar and then he moved over to the keyboard and played that in the middle of a service. Do you see that? Unbelievable. Middle of the service. I don't know if you know, these are two different instruments. I'll tell you something interesting that you may not even know. Get ready for it. His best instrument is that one. That's his best instrument. I've asked him this in years past. He didn't know I was going to mention this. That's his best instrument. He's incredible. He's played drums at conferences with thousands of people. He's there cranking the drums. That's his best instrument. It's just unbelievable. And I'm just a barista. I just work at Target, or I'm just an accountant. I can't do what this guy can do. And that's not the right attitude, friends. And it's used by the adversary to discourage the work that God has for you to do. You may not be called to play guitar, keyboard, or drums, or bass, or singer, or whatever. You may not be called to do any of those things. You may be called to be the rabbi, the cancer, the service leader, whatever. It doesn't matter. What matters is what has God called you to do. It's no less. If that is what God has called you to do, it's no less. Hear me. God never intended for you to be good at everything. God never intended for you to do everything. But God did intend for you to do something. And friends, once you find out what those things are, and sometimes God progressively reveals it to us. Once you find out what those things are, then friends, do them with all your heart. Do them with all your heart. Because God will indeed give you what you need to do what He has called you to do. Now, that doesn't mean it's always going to be easy. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it's hard. Damien can play all these instruments. You know, when he was born, he didn't as a toddler, he wasn't, you know, playing the keyboard. You know, we had a guy, Phil Klein, who kind of was like that, actually. He was a child prodigy, played Carnegie Hall as a teenager. But for most of us, it doesn't mean it's always easy. But you can do all things through Messiah who gives you strength, if he has called you to do it. Romans chapter 12, please. Romans 12. You may have heard this scripture, but think about it in light of what we're talking about right here. Man, it's encouraging. See, that's the funny thing, too, because Damien playing all these incredible musical instruments up here, I mean, he could just as well have his own misperception if he was not in the right state of mind, in a spiritual state of mind. He might be up here saying, gosh, I'm playing these instruments, but man, that cancer, man, wow, boy, I can't do what that cancer does. That cancer is amazing. Or boy, you know, how does Rabbi put together these messages with so many? I can't do that many bad jokes. I can't do it. How does he do it? How does he do it? It's amazing. Wow. It's a skill, friends. It's many years of practice. And a wife with a lot of patience. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says this: for just as we have many parts in one body, there's many parts, right? And all the parts do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Messiah, and everyone parts of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace that was given to us. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. Or the one who teaches, in his teaching. Or the one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who gives, in generosity. The one who leads, with diligence. The one who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. How interesting, isn't it? Wow, Dr. John. Each of us was given something different to contribute to the body. Each of us was given something different. All of us were given different gifts and skills and abilities that God, when he first thought of us, intended for us to use for his glory in life. Different giftings and skills. And everybody's different. Nobody's exactly the same. Kol beseder, that's okay. It's interesting because to contribute to the body. Verse 7 mentions serving. Now think about that. That doesn't sound like a
worship leader. Yeah, worship. He's a worship leader. Look at her. She's a worship leader. Wow, that is really like, that's like on the level of angels. Yes, worship leader. He's the rabbi. Oh, look at the halo in his head. Look at that. He's the rabbi.
No. Serving. Verse 8 mentions encouraging others. Verse 13 mentions hospitality. These are not stereotypical spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12, 28 mentions the gift of, wait for it, helps. The gift of helps. Isn't that interesting? Some people are gifted with the gift of helps. What do I take that to mean? I take that to mean they are gifted to help. Help other people. That's their gifting. Is that any less than the position of rabbi? Not to me, it's not. Not to God, it's not. Each of us has different gifts. What we have to do is use the gifts that God has given us. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of the many-sided grace of God. Very interesting. It says, as each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Use it to serve one another. Each one has received a gift. This may be my gift. Don't, no comments. No comments, please. No comments, all right? This may be my gift. You have your gifts as well. All of us have our gifts. As each one has received a gift, use it to serve one another. The question is not whether you've received a gift or is it as impressive or as fancy as some other people's gifts or your gifts in comparison to somebody else. Whatever gifts you have. Well, my gifts are very small. Did you hear what we read here? We heard about serving. You think you can do that? Encouraging others, that's a gift. The gift of encouragement. Is that impossible for you to do? To be an encourager of others? To have the gift of helps? I mean, this is stuff you can do. And it's just as important. We need it. There are different parts of the body. The point here is twofold. First, we need not feel less than because our gifts are not the same as someone else. Someone else's. Don't feel less than because your gifts are not as the same or seemingly as great as somebody else's. Don't feel less than. That would be the adversary trying to take away the gift that God has given you and to try to diminish its effectiveness. Don't diminish that gift that God has given you and don't think it as less important. It is not. Secondly, whatever area we are called to, we should give it our all. We should give it our all. You see, one of the reasons that some people don't utilize their gifts is because they minimize them internally. They don't think it's that big a deal. They don't find it as significant as somebody else's gifts. And so they're like, well, whatever, I don't even. And so they just ignore the gift and just kind of like, don't put it into implementation. Don't put it into use. Don't use it to serve their fellow man and woman. No, friends, whatever gifts we have, we should use it and give it our all because this is how the body works. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 also talks about the importance of all parts of the body. All parts of the body. You know that passage, the hand is important, the shoulder is important, the foot's important. All parts of the body are important, but they're not all the same, are they? They're all different. But yet they're all part of the body, as are we all part of the body. All of you watching online and the podcast as well. Friends, so illustratively, if Bethel is a body, perhaps our kitchen ministry is our stomach. Listen, the stomach is not a very flashy part of the body, right? Okay, maybe so. But friends, if the body does not have a stomach, it will not be a healthy body. And again, people think only of spiritual gifts like prophecy or teaching or worship. I personally feel like children's ministry is one of the most important callings in this congregation. That's my opinion. I think children's ministry is a critical, crucial calling in this congregation. Some house of worship act like children's ministry is just something. It's like, who can watch the kids? Who can watch the kids while the adults actually care about God? It's ridiculous. If I'm being really honest, it's offensive. The children are very important. They're the most influenceable people in our congregation. No disrespect to all of us. We have to invest in our children. I'll tell you another one. I think the greeting ministry is crucial, really crucial. People walking in that door, are they going to be greeted by anybody or just not at all? Greeting ministry, very important. Here's another ministry that's not an official ministry, but it's one of the gifts identified, the encouragers in our congregation. It's one of the things I loved about Miss Susan Reamer of blessed memory. Man, that lady was an encourager. We got to be encouragers of one another. You know, maybe you can't play guitar nearly as good as I can, but maybe you can encourage somebody. Maybe you can encourage somebody. Hey, that's needed. I don't know if you know, but it's dark out there. It's dark out there spiritually. We need to encourage one another. Amen? Matthew 11, please. Matthew 11. We have to understand, friends, that serving the Lord is not a chore. It is an honor. Amen? Woo! Serving the Lord is an honor. It is not a chore when we give our gifts to the Lord. Matthew 11, 28 says, come to me, Yeshua says this, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Ooh, I love that rest. You will find rest for your soul. It's interesting. I always love during the liturgy on Shabbat where the service leader leads us in saying, rest thereon on Shabbat. Rest. I always resonate with that word rest. Rest thereon. Yeah, you'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light, Yeshua says. Understand, friends, you have to understand the nuance of what it actually says. God does put a burden upon us. It's not that there's no burden at all that he puts upon us. He does yoke you. When I was a kid, I always heard this scripture, Allison, you know, God's yoke is easy. I thought, well, what about the rest of the egg? I don't know. I didn't understand. I didn't know what a yoke was. It's just not a term that we talk about. I bet his yoke is easy. Is that why they say, you know, when you go to IHOP, I'll have my eggs over easy? His yoke is easy. I don't know. Is that how he orders his eggs? I don't know. I told you I had bad jokes. I told you I was good at that. Okay. And so what is, you know, a yoke obviously is if you have a couple of oxen who are plowing, who are pulling the plow, the farmer and the is going to put a yoke. It's like a, think of it as like a wood board to pair them together so that they can pull together at the same time. So they have this thing upon them that attaches to them so that when they pull together. One doesn't start going this way and the other this way. And you know, you got the plow behind it and it's what's it's got? No, they're yoked together, you know? And so God does put a yoke, something to be able to so that we can go down a certain path, if you will, and it does weigh something. However, Yeshua says that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. So although we are yoked, my friends, it's not a heavy, burdensome yoke if you are walking in the gifting that God has given you. It is not something that is or should feel onerous to you. If you are really walking within your gifting in this way, your attitude, if you're not selfish, is going to be one where it feels very light to you. I've said this before. I want you to digest it. At Beth Hillel, my friends, we take God seriously, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. If God calls you to do something, allow him to empower you to do it. And don't be worked up about what you can't do. Remember what King David says. Don't be worked up about what you can't do. Don't feel less than because of what you can't do. That should not be our focus. Rabbi Robert, you saw the picture a little earlier. He knew this very well. He knew this very well. He taught me this. He taught other congregational leaders. I saw him at the rabbis' conferences and other leadership events where he would teach the other leaders. And there are some congregational leaders that feel that they need to lead every single part of the service. I see this. They'll do the prayers, then they'll do the liturgy, then they'll do the worship, then they'll take up the offering, and then they do the message. They have this need or something to do every single part of the whole service. And then if nobody else does, they'll even give themselves an amen. Amen, that was good. Hold on, you just said to yourself, that's not... Rabbi Robert knew that he wasn't supposed to do everything. And he did not feel badly about it. And it did not affect his self-esteem. And beyond that, he did not take himself too seriously. In fact, he used to say, I don't lead worship here at Beth Hillel. I sing so bad, I throw soap at myself in the shower. You remember that one, don't you? I love that line. Bruce, you remember him saying that? I loved when he said that. I thought it was hilarious. Because within it, it revealed three different things. First, Rabbi Robert did not take himself too seriously. Hello. He didn't think he was all that and had to be perceived as Mr. Perfection every single thing he did. No, he didn't take himself too seriously. Loosen up a little bit. Secondly, he did not feel at all badly that he was not given that gift. If he really kind of resented it, he wouldn't have made joke about it like that. That just makes sense, doesn't it? You could tell he was like, not one of my gifts. And let me lay it out to you very vulnerably. A little bit like I did today with some of this other stuff, right? Interesting. And finally, he understood that he was to do his part and let others who were more gifted in those areas do their part. This is a lesson we all can learn from. This is a very deep thing that he was sharing, even in the little crack. As a side note, he was being very, very honest, by the way. In fact, I'll never forget this. He used to stand right there and boy, he was very, I loved how vivacious and expressive he was during worship. And sometimes he used to kind of dance up here. He used to, sometimes when the worship got going, he would just like, you know, he's just like, woo, he'd do some kind of move or something. I don't know what it was. It was a little dancing. Well, actually, he was a good dancer, but anyway, much better than me. But he would just be really into it, and he'd be into the worship, and he'd be really praising the Lord. And sometimes he'd say, yes, praise God, and he'd yell and praise to the Lord, and he would sing. I'll never forget the time that the worship leader who was here was just doing their thing. And I'll never forget right after the service, the worship leader kind of took Dad to the side and said, Rabbi, would you mind singing a little quieter? You're right there, and it throws me off pitch really badly because I hear you so loudly saying, I promise you this happened. And he was like, oh, I'm so sorry. Dad was great at making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Yeah, he could not sing on pitch, but I wonder if now that he's in heaven, if he's a good singer. Wow, that'd be interesting to think. Whew, boy, that would be a mighty powerful work of God. But man, he loved singing his worship to the Lord. He really did. I'm going to tell you something else about your rabbi currently. One day when I retire, if you ever see me volunteering for the kitchen ministry, I have one piece of advice for you, and here it is. Don't eat it. I'm saying that right here and right now, very vulnerably. I'm pretty good at two things in the kitchen. One is grilled cheese sandwiches. Man, I can make a mean grilled cheese sandwich. And the second is boiling water. That's in those kettles that you just press the button and the water. But I'm really good at that. Many years ago, I wasn't so bad at what they used to call TV dinners. Some of you remember TV dinners. I could do a TV dinner pretty good, I gotta say. Yep. I remember when I did the TV dinners, some of you remember for a certain generation, I especially liked that, you know, that potato stuff that was in the TV dinner, you know, compartment. You know what I'm talking about, the compartment with the potato stuff. And I don't exactly know, you know, retrospectively, I think maybe 30% of it was artificial. I don't know, that potato stuff, you know, that was in the TV dinner. And I don't think it was microplastics. I think it was macroplastics. I don't, that potato goo, you know, it always tasted good, but it didn't seem right though, that it was. 1 Corinthians 3, please. 1 Corinthians 3. We have to laugh a little bit, Mishpacha, man. It's important. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. Listen to what Rabbi Shaul, Paul the Shaliach, said relative to these different giftings and different roles and different purposes that God has for us. He says this, I planted, spiritually here, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Ooh, that's deep. Remember this too, my friends. You may even be good at something, but it's not what God is calling you to at that time. It may be for a season. You know, I bet Paul was good at planting and watering. But in certain situations, he planted, Apollos watered. So even though he could water, he wasn't always called to water. Sometimes it's just for a particular season. My parents gave me 4 years of weekly voice lessons with a PhD. 4 years, every week, I had voice person one-on-one voice lessons with this PhD. And man, I sang an awful lot back in those days in middle school and high school and college age and then at Bethel El, but in high school, ranked in the top 20 high school singers in Georgia out of 400,000 students. And God used this for his glory as our music group Nagila, the Messianic Music Group Nagila, toured all over the world. I was also a cantor here at Beth Hillel and a worship leader here at Beth Hillel. And I'm going to tell you something. I loved it. I absolutely loved it. But friends, that was for a season. Why? Because, beloved, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Do I miss it sometimes? Do I sometimes miss being a youth leader? Yes, the answer is yes. Wholeheartedly, yes. But it isn't about me. It's about him. That's kind of the whole point. Why are we doing whatever we're doing in our giftings? It should be to serve him and each other. It's not about us anyway. See, the more we, this is why King David says, I'm not so proud. There are things that I can't do. They're too difficult for me. And you know what? I've calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Hey, I'm okay with it. Wow, what a perspective. So we have to pour ourselves into what God has called us to do. Not to think less of ourselves because we lack in some other area. To be able to water or plant or sing or greet or usher or cook or encourage or pray or help or serve or whatever it is holy work. It is holy work. And we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously that we can't smile and rejoice with others as they move in the calling that God gave them. Don't feel badly at all if you can't do everything. But don't be complacent and not do anything. The title of my message is, Do Your Thing. Let's bow our heads. I want to ask if there's anybody here who's never said a prayer to receive Yeshua into your heart. If that's you and you've never said a prayer to receive Messiah, but you want to today, wherever you are, raise your hand. We'll pray together. If you've never accepted Yeshua as your Messiah, but you want to today. Is there anyone here who's never done so but wants to follow the Messiah of Israel and of all mankind? Wow. Maybe you're watching online or listening on the podcast, and that's you. If so, repeat this simple prayer after me. God will transform you on the inside. Just say, Dear God, I humble myself before you. I accept Yeshua into my heart. I believe he's risen again, sitting at your right hand. God, please forgive me of my sins. I'm sorry. I'll live the rest of my days for you. Thank you, God. If you said that prayer for the first time, very simple prayer. If you're in the room, see me after the service. We want to rejoice with you. If you're watching online or on the podcast, send us an email. We want to celebrate with you as well. Lord, I want to thank you, God, for Rabbi E, who sang so poorly that he threw soap at himself in the shower. Lord, in many ways, because that was used as an illustration for him to really teach us something, thank you for not giving him that gift. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for giving us each different gifts, all different kinds of gifts. Lord, I thank you for the man who can play the guitar here, the keyboard, or the drums, the bass, the woman who sings here. God, everybody who's involved, whatever part of the service, our visual presentation person back there, our sound person, our downstairs production room sound people, video camera people, our word keyers, ushers, greeters, cantor, service leader. But those are just the formal roles here in a service. There are lots of other things, the security I want to mention. But those are just the formal roles in a service like this. I thank God for our encouragers in this congregation. Lord, I thank God. Lord, I thank you for the people who have the gift of helps in this congregation. We're always looking to help. God, that blesses me. Lord, I thank you for the people with the gift of servanthood. Gift of service. Lord, whatever it is, the people who have the gift of generosity, the gift of prayer, whatever it is, Lord, please empower us to operate fully within the gifts that you have given us. Lord, let us not feel at all diminished that we don't have somebody else's gifts or more of a particular gift. Recognizing that you're the giver. We're simply the receiver and are only responsible for that which you give us and tell us to do. I thank you for this, Lord, because this will make us more self-assured in you, Lord, and actually more content in you. Lord, I thank you for these things. Lord, I bless you for this service. It's been so wonderful for everybody here. Thank you for these things in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Rabbi Kevin. Please like, subscribe, and share this link with a friend. We would be grateful to receive your tax-deductible gift to further the good news of Messiah Yeshua. To make a contribution, please click on the PayPal link in the description. Also, to view our regular services, click the link in the description for our YouTube channel. If you would like more information about Yeshua the Messiah, or how you can become part of our Beth Hillel family, please visit our website at www.bethhillel.org. That's BETHHALLEL.org. Or call 770-641-3000. If you are in the Metro Atlanta area, please visit us for an Arab Shabbat service, Friday nights at 8 o'clock, or Shabbat services, Saturday mornings at 11. God bless and shalom.